material of Bible school, the anointing of abundance and excess. Course, the glory. Lesson 16. What does disobedience to the Lord on earth represent? Spirit and wisdom. The basic verse of this message is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Repetition of the main points of the 15th lesson. The essence of sin is a deviation from something that God has determined. In the case of man, this is a deviation from God's defined mission for a person. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man, Adam, the woman was not yet created, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." The word keep in the context of this verse means to stop any actions of someone who are contrary to what God has already said or will say. To keep is a very specific task from God, and in order that Adam could fulfill it, God firstly said about man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Let them have dominion over all the earth." Protecting the earth and their family from everything that goes against the will of God was one of the tasks that was part of the mission of man. Attention! This is not what God was proposing to do to Adam. No, it was the mission of man on earth. This is what he had to do to be what he was created to be. Now listen carefully, what I heard from the Holy Spirit. If Adam did what he had to do as a man, he would not have transgressed the prohibition of God. The fall of man occurred because he did not do what he should have done, which was not what he was created to be. He did not fulfill the mission assigned to him. And this is absolutely true. Archangel Lucifer fell because he decided to be what he, an angel, could not be, and man fell for he did not become what he should have been. Let us remember once again that the translation for the word sin from the Hebrew is mistake, or failure to reach the goal, or not doing what needs to be done. Sin is the disobedience of a person to something already determined by God. Disobedience is obedience to something opposite. Disobedience of a person is his movement in the opposite direction or away from the goal already determined by someone. The goal of everything that comes from Satan is to take the person aside from the will of God or make him disobedient. Point 1. Sin. Let us once again designate for ourselves what the original sin of Adam was. From the events presented in the third chapter of Genesis, from the first verse to the sixth verse, it is obvious that the original sin of Adam was not that Adam did what God forbade to do, as we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, but that Adam did not do what God told him to do. As we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Let them have dominion over all the earth." If Adam did what his mission on earth was, Eve's conversation with the fallen spirit would end right after the words in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, "Hath God said?" This would be his first and last words ever said to man. This means that a person can commit sin even when he does not transgress the written word of God, simply by not doing what he must do. A vivid example of sin in this context is presented in the life events with King Saul. Read carefully 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 1. "Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now listen therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord." And then Samuel tells Saul the assignment from God or what he must do. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 2 to 4. "Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that which they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah." And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 7 to 19, "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that which is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilead. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Question: What was the sin of King Saul? The fact that he did not do what he had to do. But Saul in his mind considered otherwise. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20 to 23. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep, and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilead. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now let us try to answer two questions. Question 1. What exactly pushed Saul to show disobedience to the Lord? The second question. Where was that something that pushed Saul to disobey the Lord? Perhaps someone will say, but Saul was not born again, and we are born again. Yes, Saul was not born again, but whatever drove him to disobedience, today acts the same way, from the same place, and pushes the born again to disobey the Lord. Point 2. Earthly wisdom. So let us start with the answer to the first question. What exactly pushed Saul and pushes the born again to show disobedience to the Lord? Every born again knows that only the spirit of man experiences rebirth, while the soul and the body remains the same as before repentance. This means that the context of the soul, the order of values that it had in it, remains in it. In this lesson, we will talk about earthly wisdom. Attention! What pushed Saul to disobedience was not outside, but in Saul's mind, earthly wisdom. For the first time in Scripture, the mention of wisdom of the already fallen angel, Satan, as wisdom, we find it in the book of James. James chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. So, earthly, spiritual, demonic wisdom. The word earthly speaks about the order of values, which only includes what is important on the earth. The word sensual says that it is aimed at the consumer priorities of a man, mainly related to the need of his body. The word devilish speaks about who guides it, demons. This is the approach to the values of fallen angels. This is the level of understanding of the fallen angels. This is who connects it with and through whom it gives a place. The word wisdom used by James does not say that Satan is wise, since the scripture already said that Satan destroyed his own God-given wisdom. We see this in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17 to 18. That is, James' use of the word wisdom speaks of Satan's new earthly angelic order of values. Earthly wisdom, Satan, this is Satan's distortion of God's order of values for spiritual creation, man. Also, if you take into account the verse from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. So in Scripture, the above-mentioned wisdom of Satan is called stupidity. The kind of order of values in the Scripture that are called stupidity or earthly wisdom can be seen from the actions of Satan himself. Read further in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard, devoid of fame of Adam and Eve. And we continue in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees. Earthly wisdom teaches how to live in fear, representing it as a normal and necessary experience. As one teacher in school said, fear is what helps man to live on earth. If man stops to be afraid, he would have destroyed himself. We read on. Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou givest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Earthly wisdom teaches man not to look for the cause in itself, but to see it only in others, in politics, in economics, in crisis, in anything, just not in himself. This is the basis of pride, which God opposes. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. And then God reveals what will lead man's life in a new wisdom under the leadership of the fallen spirit of death. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Earthly wisdom at the rules for life without the Spirit of God, without the blessing, without the wisdom of God. And given the fact that Satan, the angelic spiritual being that has no natural physical body, without which it is impossible to act on the earth, hence, earthly wisdom is the order of values by which a person falls under the influence and power of Satan. Through it, he captures man's life under his influence, and man, without knowing it himself, lives in obedience to Satan. It is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Earthly wisdom blinds man at the level of his soul, thus forming for man a new chain of thoughts, words, and actions. The result of blindness is the adoption of a new order of values in which the needs of the flesh are paramount and the primary needs of the spirit are altogether excluded and replaced by ritualistic practices. All the attention of man begins to be directed to the flesh. He begins to think and talk about what to eat, what to drink, what to put on, everything for the flesh and around the flesh. Satan, separating man from the Holy Spirit, and blinds his mind. Satan has made the spiritual creation, man, to be the slave of the garment of his spirit. Earthly wisdom is a purposeful, ordered organization of human life for the unhindered action of Satan. So, that's what's become obvious from the study of earthly wisdom. Satan had to teach people to die and live in a curse. People lived and did not think about death and cursing. After the fall, he taught man to think like a mortal and cursed, to speak like a mortal and cursed, and to act like a mortal and a cursed. Death and a curse for the eternal spiritual creation, man, have become a normal phenomenon without delving into what will happen after death. Satan has formed for man a system of values leading the spiritual creation to disobedience to God's plan. Everything that has been said makes us able to understand more deeply the following example. An example where his order of values is manifested through one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. We are reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 to 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." And further, the Lord Jesus reveals what exactly Satan manifested in Peter's words. In our case, his order of values. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Earthly wisdom, Satan's, diverts the attention of a person from what God pleases to the needs of the human body through which it can have access to a man. We are not fanatics. The needs of the human body are important for God. But the human body is for God's plan in human life, and the body is not God for man. Everything that began to be imposed on man by Satan from the moment of his fall leads man out of obedience to God's plan for him. Satan having distorted the wisdom of God, formed from man, a false method of life, or rules for life on earth without the Holy Spirit. In spite of the fact that even believers are accustomed to the earthly wisdom and are not in a hurry to renew their mind, the goal of earthly wisdom has not changed. Its purpose is revealed by the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. And in the life of the born again, he does this through the remnants of the earthly wisdom in their minds. Thank you for listening.